everyone once again to another episode of What's the Buzz with your host here, David Murillo, and I got Wilmer with me.
Welcome, everyone. This is brought to you by B Corp, make business a force for good. And we have a very, very special guest today for our second episode, right? We had to follow it up with someone that's, you know, we feel just as impactful as Matt Gibbs. So, we have someone here that not only is she responsible for holding down the Midwest, but she's also a contributor to her community. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. So without further ado, we'll welcome Lindsay Buckwell.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Lindsay, just to start out, we obviously want to get to know you. That's part of why we're doing the podcast. So we have, you know, a couple of questions, hopefully some of them fun.
Yeah.
We just looked at your team card that we received.
Oh, okay.
As well, you know, just to look for things that you may like that we can also discuss. But tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do for Evergreen, and anything else that you would like to share with other Evergreeners.
Yeah, so I know Matt mentioned that he was a New Englander with Midwest roots. I think I'm a New Englander with Midwest curiosity. So I was born in Connecticut, grew up there, and then for college, undergrad, went to a really tiny school in Ohio, which was a really big change for me. Moved back to Connecticut for grad school, and then the Midwest just kept calling me back. So I've been in Chicago now for 5 years, in October. It'll be 5 years, which is crazy. I live downtown in an awesome neighborhood called Lincoln Park with my partner, Brian, and our amazingly cute French bulldog, Bao. I've been with Evergreen for almost 2 years now, and my role has shifted a few times since I've been here, but all kind of same idea, working on programs in the Midwest and also New England. So I'm a part of a great team that runs programs with utility companies, basically anywhere east of Chicago.
Awesome. So let me ask, why Chicago? Are you a city girl?
I am. So after undergraduate, I moved to Madrid and I didn't have a car and I lived there for a little over a year and I just loved public transportation and city and a million different restaurants and all that. And then I moved back to Connecticut and I was thinking, like, what the heck am I doing in my mid-20s living in the suburbs of Connecticut in my childhood bedroom? So I just applied for jobs with no filter on location. And Chicago was the first one that came up. So I had never been here before. I visited for an interview, found an apartment during that visit, and just moved myself here.
Oh, awesome. So did you learn Spanish?
Yeah, I actually went to a bilingual school starting in kindergarten. So I've been taking Spanish since I was 5. And then I also studied abroad in 2 Spanish speaking countries. Yeah. And then lived in Madrid for a little over a year.
Wow.
That's so this is actually probably the time in my life where I've spoken the least Spanish. But yeah.
I know. I was going to say that that little card doesn't give us all that information.
It's a tiny card.
I was going to say that that all I know about Chicago is that they have pizza over there. But maybe you like pizza, maybe you don't. But one thing I know that you do like is seafood. Is that right?
I do. Yeah, I think growing up on the coast, seafood has always been really accessible for me. And I think that moving to the Midwest and not living on the coast made me realize how much I do love seafood and shellfish. So now when I go home to Connecticut, which is fairly often, that's like the main thing I try to eat when I'm there.
What about in Chicago? How do you feel like the seafood is there?
You know, I've seen what the river looks like. I've seen Lake Michigan. It's not my top priority, but people do love the pizza. I'm more partial to like a thinner New York style pizza, but when I have people come visit me, then definitely get deep dish with them. So a few times a year.
Man, yeah, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So we also know that you enjoy reading and yeah. I don't know if you're reading something right now or if you can give us a good recommendation or
I'm always, this is kind of weird, but I'm always reading something and listening to an audiobook at the same time. And so I usually try to read novels and then listen to either autobiographies or memoirs or stuff like that. I really like when the person telling the story is the one reading it to you. Mm-hmm. So I just listened to this book called Happy People Are Annoying by Josh Peck, who is Josh from Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
I used to watch that show when we were younger. So that one was really, really excellent. And then I'm listening to Jessica Simpson's book right now. Also excellent. And then I am on a kick of this Australian author named Leanne Moriarty. And so I just finished last night a book of hers called The Husband's Secret. That was the actual book, not the audio book. And that was very good. So if you're into like a little bit of thrill, I would highly recommend it. Wow. I don't like things that are too stressful. So got to keep it pretty light.
I thought I was into reading till just now. And you settle the debate that says, is listening to audiobook, is it cheating or?
You know, I listen to also a lot of podcasts that are like book club podcasts, and they discuss that all the time. And I feel like it's reading. It's a book. And if I can walk at the same time, then I'm really killing two birds with one stone. So I think it's better not cheating.
Very cool. Now, talking about books.
Yeah. We have a
scenario for you.
Okay.
You're stuck on an island. And you've probably heard this before, but what five movies are you taking with you? What five music albums? And what five books?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Music albums. I thought about this for a long time. I can't lie. I don't watch movies. I don't have the attention span for it. So like maybe I'm taking 90 Day Fiance, Real Housewives of New Jersey and something else, like Grey's Anatomy. those are much more my speed. And then, okay. Music albums. I'm proud of this list. It took me a while to put it together. It was really hard to only pick five, but I'm going to go with Glory Days by Little Mix, James Taylor's Greatest Hits, the Hamilton soundtrack, Jekyll and Hyde by Zac Brown Band, and then definitely, definitely Jay-Z's Black Album.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty diverse.
I tried to come up with diverse because I was thinking if I'm stuck there, then I don't want to just listen to four Jay-Z albums the whole time. And I had to bump Beyonce because I thought that was too similar. So yeah, tried to go as diverse as possible.
So yeah, don't forget to hit up Lindsay if you no hate mail, but love mail. If you agree with those picks,
yeah,
let her know.
Give them a try. Follow up with
or give them a try. Exactly.
I recently went to an AJR concert, and not one person at Evergreen that I've spoken to so far has known who AJR was. And so I was feeling really proud of myself for teaching everyone what AJR was. And then I got to the concert and it was all 12-year-olds and me and one or two of my friends. And I realized at that point, that's probably why no one at Evergreen knew who they were. So maybe don't listen to AJR, but you should listen to the rest of them.
Oh my. Well, man, this is great because we're talking about kind of where you live and who's around there and kind of your community, right? And,
yeah.
And in a weird way, it's kind of tying into what we want to talk to you about when talking about B Corp, because that's actually one of the staples or highlights when you're thinking about B Corp. One of the emphasis is to talk about community. Mm-hmm. Now, before we dive deep into that, just a quick question is, did you actually know what a B Corp was before working here at Evergreen?
Yeah, I did. I knew probably more than the average human about a B Corp. When I went to grad school, I got an MBA in sustainability. And so that entire program was really focused on kind of the triple bottom line and not just profit. And with that, most B Corps are kind of focused around that same mentality. So I took one course that was just fully on B Corps, and we all had to find one to work with and help them like kind of further develop their marketing plans if they were starting up, and we had to learn all about the ranking systems. So when I saw that Evergreen was a B Corp, it stuck out to me very, very strongly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you're just the gift that keeps on giving. When we were talking about who we could have on and your name came up again, Wilmer has talked to you or worked with you and then a few other people then that are part of, you know, talking about this, they're like, oh yeah, it should be great. And we knew you had like a lot of great things. We just didn't know there were, it was this many.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it comes to community, what is something that you've done at Evergreen that you felt had a positive impact on that community?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot because in all of our jobs, we're doing good, right? We all get to wake up and feel like, okay, I'm helping combat climate change. I work for this great company where people are getting paid fair wages. And I'm doing these things that we're all doing these things that we feel really proud of. But I think what stands out to me about Evergreen specifically, since my entire career has been in kind of combating climate change through energy efficiency, at Evergreen, I have a lot more flexibility to be working directly with the community outside of my 9-to-5. So not only am I working, you know, on all these great programs, but I also, I think everyone on my team probably knows Wednesdays is the day to ask me for something because I volunteer at our local farmers market every Wednesday morning. And by the time I get back and sit down, I'm in such a good mood from having spent time there. So that's just one example of being at Evergreen and being able to have time to, I'm on the board of that farmers market. So be on the board and be able to volunteer there, you know, once a week in the morning and, to mentor kids on sustainability at a local high school or, you know, sit on other committees and boards in the community, knowing that other Evergreeners and our leadership make that a priority and kind of allow me to fit that into my day-to-day schedule has been really, really impactful and a big shift from me in previous roles that I've been in.
That's awesome. Do you also suggest or I guess encourage your team to kind of do the same thing and get out there and find ways they can support the community?
Yeah. And I don't even know that I need to encourage them that much. I think, you know, you naturally hire people that have similar interests or who care. And I think that's the good thing about Evergreeners is mm-hmm. a lot of times you don't necessarily have to encourage people or teach them to do these things because that's why they became an Evergreener. It's something that they're already really interested in. So a few people on my team I've actually met through volunteering opportunities and we've kind of kept each other in mind when looking for future roles. So yeah, I know we've got people who sit on Illinois Green Alliance Auxiliary Board, folks who volunteer with their local farmers markets as well. Yeah, big diverse group, even coaching local teams and things like that. So the team really takes a priority in being involved.
That's awesome. I'm wondering if we can give your team a little shout out, like who are they? So we can all know.
Sure. Yeah. They're awesome. Shout out Midwest East Coast team. They're based all over the country. I know Mariah specifically, she coaches her kids basketball and soccer team. They were undefeated basketball, currently undefeated soccer. So we're really proud of them. Lauren's super involved in her community. Justin is working to facilitate this 5K that supports Illinois Green's net zero initiatives right now. So yeah, we've got all of them working on really impressive stuff.
That's awesome.
Great. So, you know, do you have any suggestions for how Evergreen can make a greater community impact?
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about is, so my team specifically, we didn't talk about like program specifics, but a lot of what we work on is controlled environmental agriculture, which can do with cannabis, but also can do with other indoor crop production. And as we see a lot of states transition to and legalizing cannabis from a recreational perspective or transitioning to growing more indoors, I think getting involved earlier so that these states are developing policies and procedures that are equitable, and then similarly, the utilities are developing collateral and programs that serve all of their constituents, not just a certain type of constituent, could be so impactful for us and a part of something that we're kind of already doing. So broadening that lens to not be just having direct conversations with the utility once decisions have already been made, but mm-hmm. really helping them to develop holistic and equitable programs, I think could be huge for the local community. And one thing that we've started to do a little bit, but I think we could also do better on, is when we're designing our programs, I think we make assumptions about collateral. For example, everyone always says like, oh, it'd be so great if we put everything in Spanish. And that's great if people in that community speak Spanish. But, you know, there's neighborhoods here where the, in Chicago, where the main language is Ukrainian or Polish or Laotian or Mandarin. So Spanish maybe isn't always the option. It's a great option, but, and it's better, but it's not always the right one. So being able to figure out what really the community needs and who those players are could be wildly impactful.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, and talking about CEA, that's, I feel like it's been a hot topic this year. Definitely something new. And like you mentioned, we tie it back to cannabis, but what are some of the benefits outside of cannabis to, you know, practicing CEA?
Yeah. So that's kind of what got me involved in our local farmers market. I've always known about, you know, energy efficiency, and that was what my degrees are in and what my entire career has been in. But food security has really stood out to me recently, and how climate change has kind of impacted food security and food deserts, especially living in such an urban area. And one of the benefits of indoor ag is that the elements don't necessarily impact it. So you could, you know, how often do storms take out farmers' crops that then put them in a place of financial complete disarray? Or pests come in and take it over. So to me, if you're able to grow inside without the elements impacting the way that the plant is grown and without pesticides, I think is huge. And it's a better working environment for growers and for cultivators and folks who are harvesting all this. They're not necessarily outside in like totally unsafe conditions. And I do think there's a lot that we can do to provide access to more locally grown, organic, pesticide-free crops to all different people across the country.
Awesome.
Nice. Are you going to give that a try, Wilmer?
I should, have a whole basement I can use now.
You got to find
it. We've got very limited outdoor space here, but I did recently buy a greenhouse, and I'm trying to find a larger grow light to get in there, see what we can start growing, but should be interesting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, this is great. When we first thought of this idea, we say, hey, let's try and keep it short. Let's go into get to know them, and then we'll answer some questions and wrap it up. But every time I record these, and this one specifically, is like, man, I'm learning so much. And I just, yeah, just wanted to keep going. So,
yeah.
So I hope everyone else feels the same, and take this opportunity once again. Thank you for sharing some of that. I'm curious if talking about, if we shift a little bit to our evergreen core values, because we have B Corp, and then you mentioned earlier, like B Corp is something that's out there, and then let's bring it home to evergreen. And we all have a little dandy little cheat sheet that goes through all the core values. And then I'd hate to go and read them, because everyone could just grab them and kind of look over it. But is there something related to evergreen core values that that relates to either the work you're doing, or that kind of calls you, or maybe that has pushed you a little bit to say, man, I need to work on that?
Yeah. So the one that stands out to me always, anytime I think about evergreen, is relationships matter. And I think that's what brings a lot of people to evergreen. I've known Matt since I was an intern in Connecticut when I was, I think, 21. And, you know, that relationship that I've had with him over the past 10 years has developed and been crucial to my growth as a person and employee, and has impacted how I treat other people that work with me now. So relationships matter, again, in Evergreen, but then also outside of Evergreen. And I think I've learned a lot about kind of patience and adaptability with clients in this role, and realizing that stressed out versions of people aren't necessarily who they are, and to give people a little bit of grace. So relationships matter has been huge to me. And then also adaptability. A lot of what my team works on is pilot programs. And that's often because, you know, cannabis has been recently legalized. So that means a lot of pivoting. And you can't allow yourself to get too frustrated or upset about things that are, you know, just light bulbs at the end of the day. So it's okay. And so having a team that can be super adaptive and know that really at the end of it, it's just making sure that our clients are super pleased and our relationship is good. And if you've got that base, then everything else should go pretty smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. On the relationships matter, I'll just have a quick comment there is, and I think Tom was saying it in this, in our team meeting. Tom always makes it into my conversation somehow, but oh, there you go. That's a relationship. But yeah, I think he was saying that at first it's kind of like weird. Cause like, why is everyone being nice to me? And why is it so perfect? Like I'm about to unveil like Scooby-Doo, right? Take off the mask. And then when you realize you're like, no, this is really how it is. At least for me personally, it kind of pushed me to take that into my work. Right. And also personal, but into my work that I want to build these relationships. And when you look at whether you want to say the competition or other people doing what we do or related or the people you meet is they don't have that emphasis. And so it's a little bit of a pride thing to say, hey, no, this I'm talking to you, not because I want something, but because it actually matters. So it's kind of cool that, that you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm with you. It seems almost a little utopian when you start. Seems too good to be true, but it's true.
But on the other end, I'll let Wilmer talk to you for a second, is that you have that relationship where you're kind of married to, but then you talk about adaptive and ideas that you really can't get married to, right? Like you have to let go, you said. So it's kind of like a balancing act.
Yeah, exactly.
Values and just the way we handle ourselves.
Indeed. Is there, you know, in talking about going back to your team, I think, you know, it's important that we gave them a little shout out and that, you know, hope, you know, other Evergreeners are also able to hear this shout out because of all the great work you're doing. Can you just real briefly, I know for sake of time, I did want to ask this. Any challenges, are there any challenges that you're seeing with your clients that you feel like, you know, you can kind of share that you've had any learning experiences with, you know, something that may be like a good takeaway for others, maybe going through some of that same situations, you know, dealing with our clients, like you kind of mentioned, we got to be adaptable. We kind of deal with ambiguity. Is there one thing specifically that sticks out to you?
Yeah. So I was kind of, you know, I was speaking about being adaptable lightly, but sometimes it can be a little difficult to always be so adaptable. And we have one client that my team will all recognize me talking about that is loves to say things over the phone and never wants to put things in writing. And I find myself getting very emotional, whether super excited or not so excited based on conversations that I have with that human. And in kind of learning how to be more adaptive, I've needed to learn how to be a little more consistent with my emotions until I see something in writing. So not letting myself get too excited and kind of jumping for joy, or not letting myself get too frustrated, because oftentimes none of those things even happen. And that person is just kind of, you know, streaming things. So I think a good lesson for our team has been get it in writing and then feel your feelings about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we thank you for that. We thank you for definitely being here with us today. It's been a really great conversation. But, you know, we want to end it with one last question. Sure. What is something that you're looking forward to in the next year, personally or professionally?
Okay. So I have one for each. Personally, I'm turning 30 this year and I feel really excited to turn 30. I haven't had a milestone birthday in a long time and it just feels like a great time to reflect on where I am and where I'm going. I'm just super, super excited for that. And then professionally and also kind of personally, I cannot wait to meet my team in person at team days. Like I just want to squeeze them. I'm so excited. I'm sorry to all of them in advance for the long, long, long hug that I give them when I see them, but I'm really excited for that.
Well, I'm glad you threw that in there so that way they're well aware and prepared.
Oh, I've been preparing them for a long time. I have their consent.
Man, that's awesome. Well, yeah, I think we're definitely going to have to do a part two because this was so great. I learned so much. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with us and good luck with everything else that you're doing and happy birthday. When is your birthday?
Oh, it's coming up in like 3 weeks.
3 weeks. All right.
Yeah. Everybody, let's
flood Lindsay's chat there.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was very fun. I listen to a lot of podcasts, so I feel pretty cool to be on one.
Thank you, Lindsay. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
A very special thank you to the B Corp committee for making this possible and to Jerry Civelli for audio production. See you all next time.